You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello, beautiful Wisdom Tribe. Thank you so much for bringing your amazing energy to the space, to this wisdom orb that you have created. I'm your host, Ian Shirley. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for being here in the energy of the community and bringing your incredible vibration into the space, into our collective consciousness. The theme for this season of Wisdom of the Ancients is the illuminated soul. Resonance with the truth that is within. Resonance with the truth that is already you, your true self. May we resonate with our true selves. And that is why we are here. We are here to hear words. We're here to receive the vibrations that help us remember that we truly are an illuminated soul. So we call in the ancient ones. We call in the ascended masters. We call in the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service to support us today and open our hearts so we may hear the words and feel the vibrations of what is being shared with us. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Christoph Melchizedek is a wisdom keeper of the sacred sciences. His mission and life work are dedicated to the spiritual sovereignty and evolution of our planet and species. He helps architect the right coding and consciousness to ensure people that are awakening are operating at their highest frequency set point and are aligned to their highest purpose. His deep comprehension of the life sciences of quantum physics, wave genetics, epigenetics, astrobiology, and quantum biology create the much-needed bridge between spiritual principles and scientific revelation. This inner standing, combined with the deep comprehension of the interrelationship between higher and lower dimensions, allows him to clearly and succinctly share the full picture of the totality of what is occurring to our species and our planet. This unique combination allows for deep oratory transmissions that make him a sought-after speaker at online events and live experiences. On a personal level, Christoph acts as a bridge and way-shower to help you transcend lower states, shadows, and patterns into more refined frequency, awareness, and consciousness. So, gives me great pleasure. Welcome, Christoph, to Wisdom of the Ancients. Welcome, Christoph.
Thank you, and it's a great pleasure being back with you. I really enjoyed our discussion last time, some months ago, when we were looking at the more macro aspects of our planet and the ascension trajectory. And now, of course, we're here to turn our attention and discuss the more microcosm of the macrocosm, our own personal evolution and journey through that, our own ascension pathway.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And I think that everyone here in the wisdom community has called you forth, called you back to the show, because this is a subject that I know everyone listening and everyone who will be listening later on is very, very keen to hear your perspectives, your experience on this. So let me just share with everyone, Christoph is going to be talking about divine sciences, the divine sciences of how your consciousness, your bioenergy field, your DNA, your soul, and your spirit all interact with one another and create and shape your reality. So as we get to the question and answer part of the show, if you would like to ask Christoph a question, by all means, *2 to raise your hand. And the questions we're going to be taking today, everyone, are going to be related to the content. So what we want, we would much prefer if you ask questions related to the content. So as the divine works through Christoph today, and as the vibrations, you know, reach you, if you have questions that are related to the subject, the topic, versus personal intuitive readings, that's what I'm saying. So we're not doing personal intuitive readings on this particular show today. It can be related to the content, but by all means, *2 to raise your hand. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to speak to Christoph. Christoph is highly sought after throughout the world as a speaker. So this is a wonderful opportunity to talk to someone who really can discuss higher consciousness at a very deep level. And then towards the end of the call, as you know, everyone, we love to finish with a process. And Christoph is going to take us through a process that I'll allow him to explain a little later on. But it's a process to vibrationally align and energetically attune you to the field of intention. So that's going to be a little bit towards the end of the show. So that's what we have planned for everyone. Let me start off, Christoph, again by saying welcome. Thank you for being here. It really is a pleasure to speak with you again. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I look forward to seeing where this unfolds today.
Well, let's start about let's start with the stages of development that our consciousness moves through. You know, if you look at someone as they enter this lifetime, as they're incarnated here and they move through the lifetime, you know, consciousness changes, right? So there's going to be varying degrees of consciousness. Even as adults, there's varying degrees of consciousness as we go through events in our lives, as we go through various cycles in our lives, and as we go through periods of density and light. So, Christoph, I think if you could start by sharing some of the stages of development and what people go through along the path to higher consciousness.
Absolutely. I mean, there's two levels that we can, you know, move through this type of question, and maybe we can move through both of them. The first level is the level of the personality, where our personality goes through these different stages as we hit these different biological age markers. You know, of course, we come in as in the first 7 years of life. This is all around, you know, where we receive our conditioning, our programming, our cultural impregnation, the mores and norms of society and from our family, as well as the accretion of karma from our ancestral lineages, and including all of the imprints that we receive from our family. And that obviously goes on to holographically program each of our chakras and bioenergy field and DNA, so that we end up, I guess, quite pre-programmed from about the age of 7 for how you're going to move through the world, unless you change your internal programming, which of course those on the spiritual path are very hopefully motivated to do, so we can evolve past that which we were initiated into through our family. And then we move into more the teenage years, and then we move on to our 20s, which is more about moving out of the lens of the family and exploring who we are outside of the family, focusing maybe for the first time the lens of our own identity outside of the family. And, you know, these biological ages we keep moving through, which every single person goes through. You know, as we move then into 40s and 50s, these different markers of time kind of bring us naturally into these different stages and phases of life. And this can be quite different to what I might call the evolution of consciousness, because biological age is and the movement through it is actually no sort of pre-marker to say that your consciousness will keep evolving. I'm sure we all know many people who are in their 50s or 60s and haven't really evolved that spiritually at all. So right. While we move through our physical age and these various markers that happen, it just doesn't mean to say that our consciousness will evolve. And, you know, the different phases and stages of life we kind of go through, hopefully, are a predisposition for our consciousness and our spiritual life to go through. So, you know, usually in psychology and sociology, they look at the four different stages of life, that first stage of the birth and infancy and childhood through to adolescence, which is all around, you know, the initiation of the imprints and the programs, and then moving from adolescence into the second stage is all around the self-discovery into early adulthood and adulthood. And then the third stage is kind of more contemplative and benevolence. It's kind of from adulthood to midlife and to mature adulthood. And then the fourth stage of more retirement and renunciation, late adulthood and death. Now, these phases we all go through biologically, you know, prior, you know, millions of years ago, when our DNA was still held in its high, more pristine nature, the biological markers would spontaneously awaken our DNA and start to establish the a natural process of our consciousness accretion, soul accretion, which is what we're going to talk to mainly in today. I think we're here to discuss mainly soul growth and consciousness growth rather than personal growth.
Right.
What our original DNA template, which many of you who are listening will be aware of it being a silicate matrix of a 12-strand potential for Earth seeds and for those that are star seeds and have had their consciousness established in different star systems, anywhere from 24 to 48 strands, depending upon their star origin. Historically, what used to happen was that as we reached 12 years old, strands 4, 5, and 6 would begin to activate, and we would naturally begin to start accreting the frequencies or the wavelengths of those dimensions of consciousness, dimensions 4, dimension 5, dimension 6. And that is those dimensions where our soul resides. And the soul would begin naturally accreting in to our vessels from about age 12 to 22. And then when you reached around 22, naturally, organically, the DNA would spontaneously open, and we would begin accreting dimensions 7, 8, and 9 into our field from about 22 to 33. And that would be our monadic or oversoul consciousness. And we would move through, you know, soul absorption and be stationed of a consciousness streaming through our vessel, more monadic. And I'll come back to these terms and discuss them more in detail. I'm just giving a bird's eye view of what used to happen. And then from 33 to 44, you know, the DNA strands 10, 11, and 12 would spontaneously awaken, and we would begin accreting the wavelengths of dimension 10, 11, and 12 into our bioenergy field. And we would then begin to accrete the avatar consciousness, the more Christic or Christ consciousness frequency would then start to stream through. And as we started to move through those biological ages, those would naturally begin to happen, and we would have a higher consciousness. We would begin to accrete the aspects of our consciousness that are stationed in the higher dimensions into our biological form. Now, when we had some interference in our human trajectory, this has meant that our DNA has suffered a lot of digression over the millennia, meaning that our DNA no longer spontaneously activates at these biological age markers. So what this means as we move through these different stages, it's not guaranteed that our consciousness will upgrade with our age. We now have to do the work. We have to do the internal work. And this is why we're here on this call today, is to discuss, well, what is that internal work, and how do we begin to accrete these larger stations of our consciousness and identity so that we may integrate the full aspect of the totality of who we are, which are as Christed beings. And let's quickly move into that concept of Christ. And I spell it K-R-Y-S-T or C-H-R-I-S-T for whatever. And this, the term Christ is beyond religious connotations. It doesn't mean a person. It just means a frequency. And if we spell out the ka, ra, ya, sa, ta, and Christ, these are the some of the first emanations from the primal sound creations. There was om, and then there was the ka, ra, ya, sa, ta, Christ. These are the 12 dimensional currents that then we are able to reconnect with, held at 12th dimension, which is Christ consciousness. Now, our evolutionary trajectory as spiritual beings in a physical vessel is to keep evolving our consciousness biology so that we may once again reunite with those aspects of who we are, stationed at those higher dimensions, receiving that broadcast so that we are holding those Christ consciousness codes and consciousness once again in our form. So this, of course, raises the great question: how do we get from where we are today to receiving those codes, the aspect of our consciousness? And in my previous frame up, I mentioned a few terms that I would like to quickly define, and then we can check if there's any questions from you, Ian, before we move on. I mentioned soul, and I'm certain that all beings listening to this will know what their soul is. I mentioned a word, monad or oversoul. This is kind of like a group soul. This is kind of your group soul consciousness, your family of souls, so to speak. The monadic consciousness is kind of like the higher mind, the observer, where you're kind of more not in the world, but observing your world. And this kind of spiritual body is held in the higher dimensions of 7th, 8th, and 9th dimension. And this is when your chakras 8 and above, the morphogenetic chakras, begin opening and begin accreting that frequency, and when your soul starts to move through the individuated lens of the personality to the more we aspect of the family of souls that you are, the group field. And then beyond that, as you move through monadic absorption, which we'll talk about the mechanics of later, is moving then from into a, once again, a much higher and grander avatar consciousness or Christ consciousness, which is that whole concept of oneness, that unity consciousness that holds itself at Christ consciousness level. And so there are, if we consider ourselves much like perhaps a house that needs to have the internal wiring upgraded so it can receive more light. If you can, Ian, imagine 12 rooms in a house, and each of those rooms in a house have 12 levels of light available, and all the houses are wired this way, 12 rooms in the house, 12 levels of light in each room, most of the houses in the whole neighborhood currently would have three rooms of light on at the level 3 on the dimmer switch. So not much light being held, when the potential is for all 12 rooms of the house to be on at level 12. That's quite a difference in the amount of light that those two houses would be able to hold. And what needs to happen in order to hold 12 rooms of your house with 12 levels of light is that there needs to be a significant amount of internal rewiring done in order for one's biology to be able to hold that much light. If you were to just suddenly turn the electricity on and send it straight from the power plant into the house, well, all the circuits would blow. There has to be this transponding down and the relevant circuitry is redone. And the same can be said as in this metaphor for humans. We need to ensure that our own internal wiring is aligned to be able to receive the highest light. And there are various stages of evolution that we move through to be able to ensure we can receive that highest light possible. And that's what the work is all about in spiritual growth, is doing the internal recalibrations to ensure that you can receive higher amounts of frequency or faster wavelengths of light. And the faster the wavelengths of light you can receive, and the more that you are aligning yourself to universal law, the more that you can hold a higher frequency and reintegrate aspects of your consciousness into your physical vessel so that you can become more whole and complete as a totality of consciousness that you are. So I want to pause there, Ian, and I want to just check if you have any questions, because this first round was a little bit of a frame-up, so to speak, and just coming back into the key points of our DNA and the evolution between our soul, our monad, and our Christic consciousness fields. That's the first piece I wanted to share.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that, and really, beautiful information that's coming through. I don't really have questions here. I just love the fact that you speaking here, of course, in the metaphor around the 12 rooms and the ability to hold the light and also to align with those frequencies that are available to us, but we don't necessarily have the internal wiring, quote unquote, to avail ourselves of that frequency. So I think as you continue, I know you've been guided by spirit to deliver the information in a certain way. I think it's really wonderful if you could also share, you know, obviously I think people are asking, well, how do I, right? And you also spoke about that a little bit earlier. How do I? So
exactly. Well,
we cover some of that, how do I think you're absolutely delivering the information the way it needs to come through. So this is great.
Super. Yes, we'll absolutely get to the how do I. It'd be like, you know, filming an entire movie and leaving out the final scene would be a bit disappointing.
Yeah, right. Sorry, yeah. All right. By all means, carry on, Christoph. Beautiful stuff.
Please. Thank you, Ian. Thank you. Okay, so now we're aware that there are, if you can imagine light from source, and it's stepped down, and we're living in a, in my previous conversation with you, we did speak into the nature of the matrix, which is base 12 mathematics. It's based off the architecture base 12. So there's 12 dimensions of consciousness within the matrix, and beyond that there are what we call the founder frequencies of dimensions 13, 14, 15, which are unmanifested, which create the 12 dimensions. Our own internal architecture is linked immutably into that, because we are base 12 mathematics as well, with our 12 DNA aspects of strands of potential. And if you can imagine each strand of DNA linked to that dimension of consciousness. So if you're listening at home, you might be aware of your chakra system, the personal chakras. Well, each personal chakra is calibrated to the same vibration as that corresponding level of the field. What I mean by that is your first chakra has the same wavelength or vibration as the first level of the human energy field. And the first level of the human energy field is lines of blue light, which is your etheric body. Your etheric body is what your physical body grows out of. Because remember, you are energy. And while scientists often think that humans have an energy field that's emitted from their physical body, the opposite is actually true. We have an energy field which creates a physical body, and it steps itself down. So the first level of the field is the template from which the physical body grows, and that has the same corresponding vibration and wavelength as the first level of the field. And then correspondingly, the second chakra has the same wavelength and vibration as the second level of the human energy field, which is the emotional body, where our emotions live. And the third level has the same vibration as the third level of the human energy field, which is the mental body, where our thoughts live. And so on and so forth up the chakras. In the same way that the chakras are correlated to the same frequency as their corresponding level of the field, our DNA is the same frequency band as that dimension of consciousness. So the fifth strand of DNA, therefore, would be the fifth dimension of consciousness. The eighth strand of DNA would be the eighth dimension of consciousness. And there are aspects of your consciousness that exist on those corresponding dimensions. Part of our growth is being able to reestablish those aspects of our consciousness that have been stepped down. And so our consciousness, which has come from source, has come down through the levels from 12, 11, 10, 9. It's been stepping down like a stair step, stepping down the frequency. And as the pulsation in and out from source has come in a scalar wave, which are scalar waves are light signaling on and off back to source billions of times a second, step down in frequency to lower and slower wavelengths. So that by the time we get down to the third, the wavelengths are slow enough that they create form. As we then come into physical being through the birth canal, and we come into physical form through our family of origin, what ends up happening is that we become somewhat cut off from the higher aspects of our consciousness. We are no longer formless. We have form, and due to the natural evolutionary aspects of our growth, we are able to, over time as we age, begin to reintegrate those aspects of our consciousness which are still stationed in the higher dimensions. So in this way, ascension is not us leaving our body to go somewhere else. Ascension, or ascending, because I don't feel it's ever a kind of an event, it's a process, it's an ongoing process, that we are taking all of that who we are up there and looking to find all of that and bring it down into our physical vessel, into our hauric dimension, into our form, so that we may live as an embodied master, as an embodied Christic consciousness field, holding all 12 dimensions of consciousness with full access to the totality of the matrix. Now, along the way, of course, we must overcome the conditioning of the through the lens of the personality, which I'll go through in just a moment, and of course the various traps and hacks and aspects of consciousness that are still particulated in the different dimensions, and bring them in to our physical form. This is a ongoing process. This takes time. It's not something that is done in an afternoon or one retreat. It is a lifelong journey and process. But there are absolutely, you know, more direct routes that you can walk. And the most important thing is having the right direction, knowing what you need to be doing. And then the second thing is focus. Having focus so that you can be keep doing the things you need to be doing to ensure that you can be accreting more light. And thirdly, dedication. You must have this yourself. You must be internally motivated to want to keep growing and evolving. Dedication is something that you can only gift yourself. And if you are dedicated to your path and are finding the right information and things to be doing, you will, because of the timeline that we are on, the fact that the cosmic Christ is now anchored on our planet, this is a broadcast signal that was not available in previous lifetimes for us. What this means is that the cosmic Christ is actually like a radio broadcast now available on our planet, where it was not so readily available, years ago. What this means is that we are much like a radio, where we can attune our frequencies to be able to match the broadcast. And this is exactly how a radio works. A radio works by moving something called the transmitter to be the same matching frequency as what the radio station is sending. So if you want to listen to 91 FM, you'd use your tuning device, and the tuning device then moves the transmitter. So the transmitter is sending 91 FM, and the radio station is sending 91 FM, and the two signals meet, and the station opens, and you can hear the music. Well, because of the broadcast now of that cosmic Christ frequency is now coming to our planet, all beloveds on the planet have the ability to attune their own frequencies to receive the broadcast. This would mean then, if you consider your mind like the tuning device and your belief systems are a bit like the antenna, you know, your beliefs have to be aligned to be able to even pick up the frequency, and your emotions are kind of the transmitter along with your DNA. When your DNA and your emotions are vibrationally aligned, you're able to start receiving that broadcast frequency. And so the frequency and the energy which is coming through to the planet is meaning that everything is speeding up. We are able to go much faster on our spiritual growth than ever before. Now, with that being said, what does that look like? And one of the things, I don't know if you notice this, Ian, but in the spiritual community, there's a lot of motivation to chase the light.
Right.
But
yeah.
Here's the great, I guess, contradiction or conundrum of light workers and star seeds and people on the spiritual path is that the real work, at least early on the growth spectrum where most people still are, is that the great gains aren't made in chasing the light. The great gains are made in navigating into the shadows. And so this is where we're going to start our how do we do this. Because if you want to hold more light, the first thing you have to do is get rid of more of the dark, more of the shadows, more of the shadow states. And this is from the lens of our conditioning, which we moved through in those early years and up to our adolescence, the programming and the conditioning. And essentially, these are really relating to the lower three energy centers, the first, second, and third chakras. Our perceptions of safety and survival, are we fearful of the future? Our ability when we come up to the second chakra of community, connection, and belonging, our orientation and sexual energy, is this being harnessed and used in a higher alignment, or do we still have addictions in that realm? And then, of course, as we come up to the third chakra, our self-esteem and self-concept, who we are in the world. You know, when we have deficiencies, what I call the egoic deficiencies, these are the foundations upon which we build our castle, we build our spiritual body. When these foundations haven't been reworked and aren't stable enough, what happens is that the whole house is not built stably and it can collapse very easily. And what I mean by that is that if you still you know, have little fears of survival. You still have, you know, scarcity consciousness, or, you know, not feeling that you can truly follow your heart and wherever it leads you because of the worry or concern around survival, you're never going to move into the higher aspects of service. Because when you, in order to be holding that cosmic Christ consciousness, you have to have a life devoted to service to others. And that often, as you know, Ian, pulls you in the most unusual directions. Having to drop things on a moment's notice and suddenly end up living somewhere else or doing something else or changing career. When you're truly living that calling of service to others, you have to be completely unattached. And to live with unattachment means you have to have complete knowing, faith, and trust in the unknown, in the divine presence. And until that's there, you're never really going to play at that level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So this is all around the first step and stage on, you know, accreting higher consciousness, mm-hmm. is to go through and repair the egoic deficiencies that have been established in the early conditioning in childhood. That is, you know, fundamentally the first direction. How do I know if I have imprints, or how do I know if I still have that egoic deficiency, is kind of course, the next question. Well, you can tell if you've still got egoic deficiencies and imprints if you get irritated, frustrated, upset, angry, feelings of helplessness, the lower frequency emotions. When someone says something, you become highly triggered. Now, the most important thing of spiritual growth is to absolutely own all of our feelings and thoughts and to all the things that we are experiencing ourselves. And when we're able to do that, we're able to move past them because we take ownership of them. And when we take ownership, we can then begin to do the internal work to clear what is held there. And so an example might be your partner says something and you become quite triggered in what they're saying. And quite often in our relationships, we end up blaming our partner for the way that we're feeling, when in actual fact there's still a core wound or an imprint in the system. Otherwise, whatever our partner would say wouldn't really kind of, you know, stick. And so the first piece here is that whenever you're feeling resistance, whenever you're feeling anxiety or impatience or frustration, anger or rage, these are all simply our emotional responses to wounds that we still have on the inside. And so when we go into these and we can start transmuting them, we're able to move past these elements because we do the internal work. So if everyone's on the call, I'm going to just take you through a little exercise here, which you can utilize for your soul growth. I want you to think back to the last time you felt any resistance. Someone was presenting something to you and you were just completely resistant to it. Where you've had any anxiety about something, where you've been in a bit of a mind loop about something that you fear might be happening. Any frustration or any anger or fear or rage. See if you can all tune in to a time you've had that. Ian, do you have something in mind for yourself? You can just give me a yes or no that you can remember last time you were triggered?
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to do is that we're going to reverse engineer the trigger to the core wound. Okay? So the first thing we want to do is we want to take personal responsibility for our trigger. To realize that, you know, there's all situations that create our emotional or energetic reactions are drawn towards us by light vibration. And through the formulation of the attractor points, due to our wounding and our imprinted program that are holding all these magnetics in place. These seemingly external events that have been caused by other people or situations are only making us energetically or emotionally react because in some way we still have a wound or a program inside of us that's being affected. And so the first thing we need to do is to then take ourselves out of the trigger so that, you know, we can move into a state of more equanimity. This is psychological stability and composure, where we can be more undisturbed and really explore and expose the emotions or pain without being in the emotion or pain, to be the observer of it rather than being in it, and to also know that everything is perfect. All these interactions and synchronistic intersection points are opportunities for growth. And so no matter when we're triggered, we can identify ourselves as having a consciousness beyond our body, and we can see through the perception of pain into the gift of this interaction. That the pain that we're feeling or the irritation is actually a gift for us to allow our soul to grow. And this has only happened to us, this irritation, because there's programming in our field that has created it and drawn it towards us for soul growth. And so we can either accept the gift of the perfection of the moment, or and see it as an opportunity to learn and evolve, or the second thing that happens is that we would become stuck in blame and victimization and start projecting onto the person who triggered us about our own situation. Either way, you know, whatever we find ourselves in, what side of the coin, the situation is perfect. You're either going to be mature enough spiritually to evolve past it, or stuck in resentment and blame of the person. And so these challenges are absolutely opportunities for growth. That's the first piece. And when we're working on our multidimensional consciousness, is that if something doesn't get cleared in our relationship, you know, and we end that relationship, it's simply going to show up again in the next relationship, and the next one, and the next one, just with a different person on the other side, because we it's the program, not the person. The program playing out inside of us, not the person who's triggering it, is the issue. And so our soul and consciousness is eternally and temporarily housed in our physical vessel, has created the illusion that we have this finite lifespan, and when we leave our physical vessels, that's it. However, our consciousness, of course, as many of you on the call will be aware, is this beautiful unfolding. And despite these regressions and unresolved patterns over time, and the karma associated with that, and karma is simply the unresolved consequences of behaviors that are not in alignment with the operating parameters of the universal hologram, that is now returning to you due to natural law, and which is the law of cause and effect. Whenever we behave outside of natural law, it sends a ripple into the matrix, which then links into our nadi network, creating a return path of the consequence of the cause we sent in motion. We end up receiving the effect of something. Now, the tricky thing with consciousness is that this is not only held with what we have done in this lifetime, but it's also held with everything that has been conducted within our soul family, within our family, our physical family, all of our ancestral karma that we carry from the family we came in. Our parents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-grandparents can often set in motion karma that we're still dealing with. Also, soul-level karma, which is essentially the karma that we've created from past lives. However we kind of view all of this, the pathway to navigate it all is to move through some stages once we can accept that we kind of own the situation we created. And all of this then moves us into a process, which I'm going to take you all through now. So the shadow release, this process I'm going to share with you, is probably one of the most powerful aspects of soul growth that you can be doing. Because once you can work your way through your wounds and your triggers, this is the fastest way of growing your consciousness and your field so that you can, you know, create more light in your system. So it's very exciting when you have the formula. And I'm going to give you that formula right now so that you may be able to, you know, navigate through this. So, step one. Once you're triggered, the first step, of course, is to identify you're in an energetic or an emotional reaction. sometimes we can get triggered and we can become angry or frustrated or upset, and we don't actually realize we're in it, and we end up projecting our frustration or our anger on the person who triggered us. The first point here of spiritual growth is to recognize there's only one person here. Well, we are living in a unified field of law of one. The person is simply reflecting to us what's inside of us. And so the first thing you need to do is to center. Center yourself and release the emotional or energetic reaction. And sometimes you actually need to leave the person temporarily just to create some space for yourself, because it can get very heightened and it can throw up a lot of, you know, choice wordings and language can come be flying back and forth to one another. The best bet is just to kind of release yourself from that interaction so that you can center yourself and you can calm yourself down. And then what you need to do is you need to expand into your detached, compassionate witness. Not be in the movie like the movie actor, but be the movie director. Be the observer of the interaction. So as you do that, you can then start to move past from the emotional charge that is there. And then the next thing that you do from this expanded, detached, compassionate witness is that this, the fourth step, so just to review, the first step is to center yourself. The second step is to release the emotional or energetic reaction. Step three, expand into being a detached, compassionate witness. And the fourth thing is you identify your thoughts and your feelings. And you write those down. What thoughts do I have? And what feelings do I have around this? And then once you've written all those down, you then go into your unmet needs. The unmet needs that stimulated all of this. Okay? And these unmet needs, you can actually very nicely map against your first three chakras. For example, my unmet need of my first chakra, my needs of safety and survival relating to this issue are, or the unmet needs of my second chakra, which is relationship, community, belonging, what are the unmet needs here that are being shown to me? What is my unmet needs in my third chakra? My self-esteem, my recognition, my identity. Okay, and when you've got kind of those unmet needs, in the sixth step is that you can go into identifying your beliefs. For example, your first chakra, you can say, I don't have enough XYZ to satisfy my need for survival and safety. Or the second chakra might be, I don't have enough XYZ to satisfy my need for relationships, community and belonging. And the third chakra, I don't have enough XYZ to satisfy my need for self-esteem or identity or recognition. And so what we do is we start drilling down our thoughts and feelings. What are the unmet needs? What didn't I receive when I was younger that's making me feel this way? Where else in my life have I received this same conditioning that I'm being triggered by now? For example, in relationships, if you were when you were growing up, your parents were arguing a lot, and your father perhaps left and left the relationship altogether, there's going to be a big wounding there in the masculine expressions of life. So very easily you'll become triggered by masculine reflections. So quite often it's not necessarily the masculine reflection that is wounding you, it is the memory of the reflection of your father who left the marriage when you were younger that then created a hole in your life around the masculine. And so what you're dealing with is a wounding of the father. And so what happens in our current relationships, romantic or friendships, they can wound us and trigger us from our childhood. And they are gateways into our childhood. And what you do is you begin to explore your unmet needs of your chakras to allow yourself to explore what the underlying belief is and what the underlying and underneath the belief is the core wounding and the fear. So to reverse engineer that one more time, you're triggered, center yourself. Release the energetic feeling, expand into the compassionate witness, and then look at your thoughts and your feelings. What are you thinking and what are you feeling to yourself? And then what are the unmet needs which created that? And from those unmet needs, what were the beliefs that were formulated? What must I believe about myself to be thinking and feeling these things? And then underneath the belief, what is the wounding or the core wounding that all this has created? Because the core wounding is actually creates the constellation of unmet need, belief, thought, and feeling that act as triggers. And what happens in a core wounding, which we end up receiving a lot of when we're very young, is that the wounding creates a tear in our bioenergy field, and inside that tear formulates emotional pain. Now, if you were to cut yourself with a knife on your skin, that underneath that cut would begin to coagulate and bleed, and that bleeding would eventually formulate a scar. And underneath the scar is the painful kind of wound. The scars in your bioenergy field are protecting the painful emotional wounds that you have not yet dealt with when you were younger. And across, then over the top of the wound, formulates the lower self, the wall, mask, ego, other aspects of your consciousness protecting that wound. Inside that wound is a vibration. That vibration is what gets triggered. So that when someone shows up in your life with the same vibration as that wound, it triggers the wound, then sending in motion the dormant defenses of lower self, wall, mask, ego, that suddenly kick into gear. And our energetic defenses spring into action. And we either attack, we either withdraw, we either defend, or we shield or wall or mask off that energy the person is presenting to us to prevent it from coming into the painful wound that still exists inside of our system. And simply the thoughts and the feelings and the belief systems are just the internal mechanisms of safety and survival to keep oneself from avoiding the pain that we felt when we were very young. So this whole process is what I call an imprinted program, so that whenever we're triggered, it triggers that whole constellation of wound, of belief, unmet need, thought and feeling. And holding all this in place are the magnetics which keep in place the neural nets in the brain. And the neural nets are a set of neurons which fire together an automated response. So what happens is that your reticular activating system of your brain begins to analyze, delete, distort information to confirm a core belief that you have formulated in your life based upon the wound. And therefore, you end up creating that and putting it straight into the neural net, which creates the repeated train of thinking. And all of this is done automatically in the blink of an eye, and at the moment a trigger shows up in one's life. The real work of spiritual growth is reverse engineering our irritations, our frustrations, our upsets, so we can come back into our thoughts and feelings and beliefs and the core wounding and healing the core wounding. And how do we heal the core wounding? Is that you go into the feeling and the frequency of the original wound. When you can track what it's really about, you can use that energy, because your consciousness doesn't know time, and you can begin to process out the core wounding. And that's often an emotional release. It can be crying. You can also do it through energy healing. I teach all of that, these processes, my neo-shamanic healing school, and it's a process that can be learned, where you can, as a healer, begin to heal the core wounds in people by accessing the wound and releasing and rechanging the whole imprinted program. And I teach that a lot in the neo-shamanic trainings. For someone who's doing it on their own, the way that you can do it is to feel the emotion of the core wound when it happened in the first place, and allow yourself to feel that pain of the young child, allow that to come out. And when you release all of that, you're going to release the trapped emotion from that time period, and it's going to stop playing, having an effect on your system, because you're no longer going to start keep attracting the same situations which are showing up as patterns in your life, because the lower congealed dense energy that is trapped as a wound in your field through the scab and the various defense mechanisms will no longer be there. So you end up not attracting the same situations or the same people or the same scenarios, because you've cleaned that aspect of your consciousness. So it was quite a overview and discussion I just went into there, Ian. So I want to just check with you here to see if there's any comments or questions before we move on to moving up the layers a little bit more.
Well, I wanted to see if we could take a couple of questions also from there were some people who wrote in on the web who have some questions that I think would be germane and pertinent to the discussion. But I just wanted to just have you clarify something. So, you know, as it relates to aligning to the frequency of Christed consciousness, this is the process that really allows us to most importantly change our beliefs as well, because you mentioned quite a bit earlier that changing the beliefs, our belief system, is one of the most important things that we can do to align with that Christ conscious or Christ conscious frequency.
Yes.
Right.
How this relates to our opening gambit was, how do we access that Christ consciousness? First up, we need to delete anything that is not in alignment with Christ consciousness. You see? And so the first thing is that we must become empty. We must become empty of our wounds. How do we know we've got wounds? Mm-hmm. If we're still getting irritated and triggered a lot, there's still work to be done. And so if we're not in stillness, if we're not in harmonic flow, there's still work to be done. So this is the biggest component of the work of being able to then pull in the higher frequencies on our spiritual growth path. It's actually moving through the shadows. If those shadow states are still here in one system, you simply won't be able to bring through the higher frequency bands that are being transmitted now with the cosmic Christ. So the real work is the internal clearing work that gets you to go through it. And in the next segment, I'll share a little bit about the higher consciousness stuff, but literally 80-90% of the work is shadow clearing. and karma clearing. And then only when you get to that point, it's almost like, you just got to flick the switch and then suddenly the consciousness can stream. But to get to the point, there's a lot of clearing that needs to be done before you can do that. And then literally it's a perception thing. First up, let's assume one has gone through that process and have cleaned themselves and have cleaned up a lot of their karma, ancestrally also. And they are now living at a point where they are far less triggered, okay? And they are living in flow in their heart space, and they're flowing through life, naturally, without being irritated, frustrated, angry, upset from whatever's coming at them, staying in equanimity no matter the situation. When you get to that point, then you're in a place where the expansion in consciousness and the higher dimensions becomes a lot easier, because you're pulling down frequencies that have room to take hold in your system, because there's a more resonance. You're not vibrating at the lower frequencies, because every wound that you have in your system lowers your vibration. You have to raise your vibration to a high enough set point where you can actually receive those frequencies coming through. Once you get to that point, the key thing then is to align your life to natural law. So for those of you that are really ready for that piece, I recommend studying natural law. And when you begin to learn, this is a topic for a whole nother talk we can do one day on natural law, aligning your life to natural law. And then when you start living in alignment with natural law and you start moving into service to others, you need to start looking at life not through the lens of the I, but the lens of the we, and selfless service. And when you start to look at selfless service and service to others, the next piece is that you must look to merge the aspect of the feminine consciousness that you are and the masculine consciousness that you are. This is the absolute key, is that you must become gender balanced between the polarity of masculine and feminine. If you are a male in a masculine vessel, we must look to balance the feminine part of ourselves, and just as the female must look to balance the masculine part of ourselves. And so this process is known, as some of you may be aware, as Heros Gamos, which is this merging of the masculine and the feminine together. And when that happens at the monadic level, our monadic consciousness merges together. The fastest way to do this is when you are in relationship with your twin flame or twin ray relationship. That is, when you first came from source, you were a unified masculine and feminine consciousness. Then as you came down into the monadic level, that consciousness splits into the different identities of masculine and feminine together, separated. The separation then creates, is the first aspect of separation. As we move up on our consciousness and we begin to move higher states of consciousness, we must look to merge the masculine and feminine aspects inside of us, and then ultimately the fastest way to go about this is to merge with our twin flame, our twin ray twin, our complementary opposite. And if you want to know about being triggered, you should enter into a relationship with your twin flame, because they hold the exact opposite coding to trigger you in your woundings, because you are literally dealing with your complementary opposite merged in the 12th dimensional plane. And so the great phase of our ascension is the merging of the masculine and feminine principles into that helos gamos. And what happens then is that the monadic consciousness opens up, and the fused masculine feminine consciousness comes through us. And then ultimately what happens for those who are able to hold their frequencies, and my beloved and I are not there yet, we're still working through our things to be able to have that one consciousness streaming through two vessels. Right now we have, I have my consciousness, my partner has her consciousness, and when we do circles and ceremonies and events, we have our merged consciousness coming through both of our vessels. So we hold it in ceremonies, but we don't hold it yet in everyday life. And of course, that is the great pathway, is to merge with your twin so that you can hold one consciousness coming through two vessels. And that is the great evolutionary standpoint, and this is what many masters have taught us before. Yeah. Mary Magdalene and the Yeshua, were twin ray consciousness, where they had one field of consciousness coming through two vessels, and Yeshua would never have ascended like he did if it wasn't for Mary Magdalene and the work that they were doing together.
Mm-hmm. All right, wonderful. So I don't know how much you had planned or wanting to cover tonight or today, whatever, whenever you're listening. I did also want to share with everyone who may be joined later that there is going to be some Q&A as well. So if you'd like to ask Chris,
maybe we can take some questions.
Yeah, star 2 to raise your hand if you're on the phone, or I can get to some on the web as well that we can ask Christoph. And then, of course, Christoph will have a wonderful offer to share with you as well that we want to cover, and then we'll finish the show a little bit later on with a beautiful meditation / activation that Christoph's going to take everyone through. So if you join later and you missed that, we still got that going. So why don't we do this? Why don't we go to the phones, and what we'll do is take some callers, and then we'll do some web questions, and then we'll see where you're guided to take the rest of this, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's go to Beverly Hills, California, and the last four digits of your phone number are 6026, and you are live with Christoph.
Oh, I'm lucky. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
I love that I'm spending this. Hi, Christoph. Thank you so
Hello.
Much. Christoph, I want you, based on intuition, however you can help to make me strong, not to be under influence of anyone or any other energies, and to be strong and to fight for my right, for my own right.
Yes. What was the question? You're wanting to know how to become more sovereign?
To become, how to become powerful, how to build up my inner confidence and inner power.
Beautiful. Well, the area that you're going to want to investigate is your third chakra, which is all about your self-esteem and empowerment, and looking back at identifying how the archetypes when you were a child were in your life. Were your parents, for example, were they very encouraging of you? Did they build a good sense of self-esteem for you?
No,
or were they quite critical?
Not.
Yes. So the work now for you needs to be going back into the childhood and doing the childhood inner child healing, which means going back in time and providing yourself with the overriding frequencies from your more adult self to a child. So you can visualize yourself as a child and send in the very frequencies that you feel you were missing when you were young. Because when we grow up in a household that is, there's a lot of arguing and there's a lot of, you know, conditions, we end up, you know, having a lower sense of self-esteem and self-concept of who we are. We always are looking for other people's opinions to make our decisions rather than being true and strong. And the other aspect that plays out a little bit here for you is the victim consciousness, where you end up attracting perpetrators, people who take advantage of you because of that particular victimizer program that plays out. And so going back into the childhood, cleaning through the lens of the third chakra and working through their victimizer or victim perpetrator programming to clear that, you end up having a vibrational frequency which doesn't end up attracting people who take advantage of you anymore, and you end up becoming into a greater sense of self-concept and self-esteem, and you end up trusting yourself a lot more rather than trying to second-guess and be fearful moving forward. So the answers for you, my dear, lie in going back into your childhood and reprogramming your third chakra in the way that your parents were for you by providing those frequencies for yourself as a young child.
Yes. Yes, helpful. I know all that. Thank you. I just wanted to see if you can do a little bit of energy or something to help.
I don't think that's, well, Christoph, you want to answer that? I'll leave it up to you.
What is she saying? Well, she wants you to do a healing?
Yeah.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll do a healing for everyone I'm going to do a healing on the victimizer, on the victim perpetrator, because this is a big one. People who are keeping in themselves in spirals are attracting, you know, these patterns. But of course, still needs to be the internal work still needs to get done, and this means you need to be able to spot the patterns before they happen, and being able to then override them by creating new neural nets and new neural pathways. And this is a process that, you know, I think, Ian, we have on offer today, as after this talk, is the Ultimate Clearing Protocol has been specifically formulated and designed to give you the tools to go through and clean each of the chakras where all each of the imprinted programs hold. So if you're committed and focused, it might be a good pathway for you to go down, to be able to then, you know, come back time and again. Every time you find a trigger, you'll have a clearing protocol then to do it. I'll do this one here for you today and for everyone on the call who is working with victimizer, victim perpetrator software, and how things work with energies is opposing frequencies. Whenever there's an opposing frequency, you know, it neutralizes it back to zero. So that's how we're going to work. Okay. Let's start off by everyone taking a few breaths. Breathing in and breathing out. The most important thing now is to come into a state of theta. And you access theta by coming into your heart space. Feeling your heart, filling yourself with unconditional love. Feeling rose-colored light fill up around your chest. It's commanded by the Divine Presence and the universal harmonic law of divine love. The translucent code of source be uploaded and installed in everyone's multidimensional atomy and DNA template. Calling up
highest priority imprinted program of the third chakra. Victim, perpetrator, and victim consciousness. Calling in the mirror opposite ids. Victim, perpetrator. Merge those together up the levels. Calling in the Christed opposites. Sovereign, benevolence. Merge those together up the levels. Collapsing into the void. Holographically reprogram through the third chakra. Uploading the chakra restructure code of source to the third energy center. Holographically re-imprinting and reprogramming sovereign benevolence to the multidimensional consciousness fields, DNA templates. Bring the third chakra and do 100% flow. Clear charge balance, levels 2, 4, 6. Restructure, levels 1, 3, 5, 7. Bring into 100% flow. Release the magnetics around the neural nets. Bring all frequencies, clearings, and upgrades into the Hara dimension. And up well to the highest levels of the field in the best way possible for each person here in alignment with their divine self. Namaste. Okay, what did you notice during that clearing? Are you there?
Oh, Christoph, I'm not sure.
Maybe she left.
Wait, let's see.
Here.
Maybe she left.
Here we go, sorry.
Oh, yes. I'm just asking you how you were, what did you notice during that clearing?
I was feeling movement. I still feel vulnerable, but I think something's happened, hopefully.
Yes, yes. No, not hopefully, it has.
Yes.
So the vulnerability is perfectly normal right now, okay? Because, yes, you know, we've just dismantled defenses, okay? So the defenses are dismantling now because we've also changed beliefs, core beliefs, okay?
Yes.
So the first thing is just allow yourself to integrate, you know, and then just be the observer now in your life, okay? Yeah. And you'll start to spot things before they start happening to you. You'll start to see the patterns and override them. Okay? Mm-hmm. The universe is going to send you one more test. That's how it works. When you really clear something at a core level, there's one final examination from the universe to make sure you've really got it. And then when you pass that one, you don't even end up attracting the same situations anymore.
I see. Thank you so okay. much. God bless you. I can feel the energy, and I can feel that something is happening, something big. And yes. I really appreciate you.
Mm. Well, much love
you're
to
welcome.
You. Okay.
God
do
bless
the,
you. It's all good.
Do
thank
work
you so much.
Soul. Okay, bye. Beautiful. Well, you know, since we're discussing and talking about clearings, Christoph, we can do it now, or if you feel that there's something else you want to cover before, we can do it a little bit later. But I thought that this would be a good time to actually share with people around the Ultimate Clearing Protocol, because that's really what we just did. So it's a kind of a natural segue to that.
Yeah.
Would you feel that would be a good thing to do now, to tell yes. people about that? Okay, so let me show everyone how they can follow along. So Christoph's going to tell everyone about the Ultimate Clearing Protocol. And so after that, we still have the meditation and the attunement at the end of the call. And, of course, we'll still continue the discussion. And time permitting, we might also be able to take a couple of more callers. But for right now, go to the webinar page, if you're on the webinar page, and click the special offer button. That's the orange button underneath Christoph's photograph. And it'll take you to a page that says Ultimate Clearing Protocol. And if you're not on the webinar page, type in wotashow.com/Christoph, which is CHRISTOF and the number 8. So it's wotashow.com/Christoph8. And everything's lowercase. There's no uppercase at all. And that way you can follow along and you can take a look at this beautiful protocol that Christoph has put together and is offering today to the Wisdom community. So, Christoph, please take us through this and tell us what it's about.
Hey, you guys do a great job on this on the website. I see very well laid out. You guys are awesome.
Good.
I was just looking at the sheet there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was just looking at the page you shared on the internet. Well, the background to this is over the last number of years, you know, I've been working with people for probably 25 years, you know, either physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It was that when I started to focus more on the energetic and spiritual side of things, after a lot of consultations with people, I began noticing recurring patterns and programs and causation points. And I began doing them, you know, just these clearings for people time and again. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I just kind of packaged together all the things I've found over the years and created one kind of ultimate, you know, clearing process that would unfold over a number of weeks. And so that's what I did, really. I just looked at all the different things that I noticed that people need to clear in their life. And as we've talked about today, that the biggest issue for people in embodying their fullest and highest potential isn't about attracting the light. You can't attract the light when there's density in your field. You have to get rid of the density. When you get rid of the density, accreting the light is a very just natural byproduct of clearing your shadows. So that's the first thing. And so this whole process that I've gone through is about clearing your shadows. And it works in combination with you to work you through systematically your field. And it starts by working first up through your dimension of Hara. And Hara is the dimension of intention. And quite often people have splits in their Hara line. They have split intentions. When you have a split intention, you don't get anywhere in life. You end up being static and status quo. So the first and most important piece is having a strong intent. And so I do a full repair on the Hara dimension and activate all the meridians and circuitry systems so that the light can actually be circulating around. And how the protocol works is that I release one healing a week for you, so you can't kind of get too far ahead of yourself too quickly, because I know what people are like. They want to do all 12 in a week.
Right.
It's much better to to go more slowly. And so one a week, and if you can do each clearing two or three times before you move on to the next one's ideal. But what you're going to find is you're going to keep coming back to it, because you might end up triggered in some way and you recognize, oh, it's a trigger relating to my second energy center. I'm going to go back and I'm going to set an intention to clear this trigger and the wound I've found. And you go back in and your higher self and yourself inserts the trigger and the wound into the healing, and the healing itself will clear it for you. And that's how it kind of goes. And so we just work systematically through your energy centers, and we work through the root chakra relating to all the issues we find in the root chakra, and then the next week the sacral chakra and the third chakra, you know, are all become available one a week through the energy centers. And these are all relating to, then we come up into the heart, which is all relating to our ability to love and ability to feel love. And it's not only about the clearings, well, then it's about adding in what's needed. When we start getting up to the heart and beyond, we start to, you know, activate the internal chakras inside the heart. We begin to activate the high heart, the spiritual heart, which is the eighth chakra, which sits just below your clavicles on your sternum there. And this is where your purpose and your soul purpose resides, your longing for this lifetime. And so this is the first of the morphogenetic chakras, and this is your high heart is responsible for your spiritual compass in life and your direction. So we want to activate that so that you can become aware of that nice glow in your high heart, which formulates the direction for your life. And so we start then moving through the upper chakras, which is then the throat, the third eye, and the crown, all relating to, in the throat, more getting you connected to divine will, which is really the great theme, and moving you up into a monadic upgrade so that you start operating with that divine will, divine mind, divine love, which are really the bigger aspects of the upper energy centers, allowing yourself to communicate clearly, being able to self to see things clearly. And so the chakra portion of the journey is about 2 months worth, 8 weeks worth. And you're going to be cleared also when we get to the seventh chakra of a lot of the religious programming that we end up coming through with through our ancestors, certainly through the lineages of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all held false ideologies. And so we want to clear that from our field and from our ancestral realities, so we don't, you know, get caught up in these false father worship and models, and we end up being able to receive the divine light from source. Mm. Once we've gone through the chakras, you know, the next thing we want to be able to focus on is karma. And this is in terms of the journey into being able to hold that Christic current. The process of ascension and liberation is really, you know, there's never an end point with ascension. I'd rather call it ascending, but there is a definite marker for liberation. Liberation is when you resolve all your karma to source. What that means is that you become karma free, and this means you have overridden all of the previous choices that were made out of divine right alignment. You've cleared all your karma, not only from this lifetime, but from all your lifetimes. You've cleared also all your karma from your ancestral karma, and you've cleared all your karma to source. And what happens at that point is something quite incredible happens, is that your organs flip. Your organs have a polarity, north and south. And what happens is that the energetics of your organs flip, and north becomes south and south becomes north. And they all flip spontaneously when you become karma neutral. You become liberated. And when you become liberated and you're holding the ascended consciousness, that is basically the keys to the gate. You then have the ability to leave at when your consciousness leaves your body. At that point, if you're not liberated, you need to come back down to earth again to have another round to keep clearing karma so that you can become karma neutral, so that you can merge back with source. When you're liberated, then and only then can you then leave the entire time-space matrix and merge back one with source, having completed your great universal journey of lessons across all dimensions, because you've cleaned all the karma and you have now become karma neutral. so to speak, and then you can merge with Source once again. And so we want to do some thorough karma clearing, and these are big sessions. You know, people get pretty wiped out after doing karma sessions, and this is not to say that suddenly you do these karma clearings and suddenly your karma, you're free and you're liberated. You know, this is a process ongoing that happens. You know, I've not liberated my consciousness yet. Beloved families of mine have, you know, Sananda, Shekinah, they've got liberated and ascended consciousness. Myself, I'm still working towards that. And so, you know, this is an ongoing journey, but these clearings will absolutely help accelerate that process as you move through your ancestral templates, your quantum life templates, and your soul level templates. And finally, we do a unnatural seal removal, and these are just various energetic and organic material that has been accumulated in our DNA architecture over time through interferences in our organic process. And rather than getting caught up in too much of the story on that, just to know that we want to clear all of ourselves from unnatural seals, inorganic material from our consciousness and DNA, so that we can be working and connecting more organically with Source. And so this process unfolds naturally over 12 weeks, and you know, is basically the best of the best healings that I've ever uncovered, explored, found, and repeated over time, all packaged up for you in one package where you can just come back time and again and repeat the healings as you need.
Wow. So it's a really powerful healing program. And you mentioned earlier on in the call, Christoph, that, you know, 80% of the work, I need to flip back on my notes because I took some notes. You spoke about the real work isn't chasing the light. The real work is staying out of the shadows. So when you do this program, this is the work that we need to do to stay out of the shadows and clear a lot of the trauma.
Not to stay out of the shadows, but to go into the shadows. You have to go into
Yeah.
So as part of this, you get the shadow release process map. You get the a very well written out. I summarized it today on the call, the steps, but there's actually a little PDF. There's a little process that you're gonna learn to go through every time you get triggered. You'll learn how to do that. And then once you've got the information that you need, you set an intention, do the healing, and it'll clear what you find.
Wonderful, wonderful. So this is available, everyone, for you. It's available for you. The Ultimate Clearing Protocol, which is a 12-week program by Christoph that he is making available to the Wisdom community. And very, very grateful for that.
I wish I had this when I was... a number of years ago, it would have saved me some years. That's
right. So, you know, would you say that this is something that would benefit virtually everyone to go through? It would appear to that we would all need to go through these. But what's your perspective on that?
Well, here's the thing: is it? It's a very small set of people who it wouldn't be beneficial for, and they are people who are already liberated. Someone who's already got a liberated consciousness wouldn't need to go through it because they've already cleared everything. If you're not liberated, it means you've still got clearings to do. So that puts most of the population who would be beneficial, but most of the population don't have the consciousness to even know what they've got here. People on your show understand about energy and energy healing and understand about clearing and understanding about growth. But unfortunately, most of the planet aren't even aware of energy. So the people on your show are a very sophisticated audience. They're listening to incredible speakers regularly on all sorts of amazing topics. So, you know, those of you that are resonating with perhaps anything you've heard today, you know, it's just try it on, and it will, you know, it will absolutely help accelerate your path by going into the places where we often want to avoid. That is the thing. The truth of it, I find, is a lot of light workers and people on the spiritual path end up chasing the light, but you don't get the big yield there for your work. If you're going to put effort in, you want to put effort in into the places where you're going to get the biggest result. That's what I was always about, certainly when I used to be in the training arts. I used to work with people a lot on their physical health and vitality and fitness, and I'd always try to choose the activities for them to do where they were going to get the biggest bang for their buck. If they had to basically, you know, train in some way, what were the four things they could do on a daily basis that was going to give them 80% of the results? And this is what I mean by focusing on the shadows. That's where all your yield is. When you focus on the shadows, the light takes care of itself. But if you keep trying to bring the light in, quite often it won't come in when you've still got these programs and things playing out.
Yeah, beautifully put. I mean, this has been an amazing call, really beautifully beautiful call. And I love the way that you speak about that. And so when we kind of bring all this together, we talk about the crisis consciousness, you talk about attuning to that frequency. And then also, for example, some callers are asking, actually a few people have asked, and I'm just going to say someone's name because she wrote it in here. She said, let's see where she is. I think it was, here we go. Beth from Dania Beach. She says, what is the most valuable thing I can do right now to further my betterment and increase my frequency and vibration? So to bring all this together, to increase the vibration and, attuned to the crisis frequency by doing this program that you've put together, this protocol, we'd be able to, you know, quote unquote, achieve those results.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I don't want to put myself into the place where this is the only way to do it. There are many ways to go about clearing things, but this is a way that's very effective. I've had so much wonderful feedback from people, and it is one method of clearing your shadows very effectively, shall we? That's what we can say. And absolutely, that if you're serious about wanting to accelerate, I do feel that this would create a good acceleration for you. And I keep getting wonderful feedback time after time from people who keep coming back to it and thanking me. And I'm sure that if you chose to do so, you would find it beneficial for your accelerating path.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, let's take another caller. We've got Nancy from Boulder Creek in California, and it's 4949. You're on live with Christoph.
Yes, hi. This is
hi.
Extremely
Welcome.
Interesting. And I have to listen to it three more times to understand it. So can you tell me the difference between, well, actually, I'm curious about the difference between the higher self and soul. But since you are taking personal questions anyway, how can a person just answer that question and it'll be fine.
Yeah. So think of it this way, that the question is, what is the difference between higher self and soul, okay?
Yeah.
So higher self is the totality of all your consciousness. Your soul is a subset of that. Your soul is kind of like the personality. So what I want you to do is to imagine like an enormous ball of light. And then drop down a second ball of light, not as big. And then drop down a third ball of light, not as big. Can you visualize that?
Can't visualize. Where am I dropping it?
Just below.
Below what?
Just below the first ball of light.
Okay. All right.
You've got one ball of light, then you've got a second one underneath, a bit smaller, a third one under that, a bit smaller, and then finally, the fourth one at the bottom, smaller still.
Okay.
The one at the bottom is like your soul. Now, the one at the top is like your higher self. If your higher self was to stream down all of that light, that big ball, straight into your physical vessel, and just place yourself, your physical vessel, underneath those balls of light. If the higher self was to stream all of the higher self down into your physical self, it would probably blow your circuits. So what happens is that the soul acts as a catchment. The avatar consciousness, the higher self consciousness or Christic consciousness, shines down into the monad. The monad absorbs that, and then the monad shines down into the soul, and the soul absorbs that, and you receive the stream from the soul. Now, what happens at some point in your spiritual evolution, you go through soul absorption. The fourth ball of light merges up into the third ball of light. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and
which is...
You end up streaming directly from the monad. And then at some point, that two merged balls of light end up merging to the third ball of light, and you end up streaming from your avatar consciousness. So you go through soul absorption, where your soul goes up in, which acts as the intermediary to the light of the monad, goes up into the monad, and then at some point the monad goes up into the light of the Christic consciousness field, and you end up streaming directly from that.
And this so, is all in a lifetime, perhaps?
For those, this is the possibility and potentiality of this lifetime right now, because of the frequencies that are available on the planet.
Right.
You're able to go through soul absorption, and then you're able to go through monadic absorption.
Well, it's quite possible. Yeah, I have a very stuck soul, so I don't know what the issue is.
What do you mean? Did you say a soft? You have a soft soul?
Stuck.
Stuck.
Stuck soul. Well, your soul's not stuck.
It's basically my life.
The personality.
the personality is stuck. Yes.
Exactly. This is why you need to work through your shadows, okay? You start getting then, you get that moving, you get it unstuck, okay? And then you start receiving more light.
I've got a lot of work to do. I've been told
Here's the simple formula. I'll keep it really basic. First up, remove fear, create space, add love. That's it. Very simple. Okay? And how do we remove our fear and create space? We clear out our shadows, and then we just add love. And when we add the love, more light comes into our system.
Yeah. So I don't understand why. I've been told that when people look at me who can see light, they say I'm like an airport. But I certainly don't act like I have a lot of light. So I don't understand the difference. Why the differential?
Well, what you need to do is you need to start spotting your patterns.
Yeah.
You need to be the observer of your reality like a movie director and find out your irritations and your upsets. And then you'll start to see the pattern. You'll start reverse engineering the patterns to work out what the core is. And then you need to do the work on the core.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Much love, sweet soul. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Bye. All right, beautiful. Well, Christoph, we have maybe a little bit of time for something else besides your meditation. If you felt that there's still something you'd like to share, we've kind of reached the end of the duration of the show. We'd love to obviously have you take us through that vibrational attunement. But if there's anything else that you feel that you'd like to add to what you've covered today for the audience, that you feel is still necessary to share on the show tonight, then by all means do that. Otherwise, feel free to take us right into that vibrational attunement.
Beautiful. Well, I might just finish with a closing statement so I don't have to pollute my energy transmission at the end with any words, and I can just leave everyone on this frequency and feeling. So as a closing remarks, you know, we're living in extraordinary times. The amount of vibration support is here for us at this time. It means that we can, you know, really move quickly through things if we're going in the right direction. And the metaphor here is like the difference between rowing your boat across the ocean to sailing your boat. The wind is up and the wind is at our backs, and spirit has heard the call. And through the lens of the great cosmic clock, we find ourselves in the photon band of potentiality and possibility, where the wavelengths bombarding our planet and the plasma coming to our planet is creating a massive frequency upgrade. Now, what this means is that your shadows are going to come up for clearing, whether you like it or not. Okay, what will happen through the law of harmonic induction, anything that is not in resonance with these higher frequencies are going to keep coming up. 2020, I believe, the end of 2020, 2021, Pluto comes into the game astrologically to our planet. What that means is that anything that is in the unconscious or the shadow state will come to the surface, both individually and collectively. The more that you can do now, the easier it's going to be as we enter the 2020s. When we enter into this decade, profound change is coming to our planet across all many levels of society. All the shadows that are held at all levels of society, including government, including politics, including financial, including medical, all the things that are happening to our planet which are in the shadows are going to come to light because of Pluto's influence. And so anything that is not resolved globally as well as individually. And so the great opportunity for us is to utilize this time to prepare as best we can so that we may have an easier run as the 2020s and that decade starts coming and immense change. You'll be able to flow through the change very easily and effortlessly into a whole new timeline for yourself. Because a new timeline's coming for our planet and species and humanity, whether we like it or not. It's just that we might as well be in a higher frequency set point so we can create a new timeline that is going to, you know, upgrade our life rather than be bumpy. And so my great comments and cheering you on to keep going for it. Keep working through your shadow states. The reward will be in how your life plays out in the coming years and months ahead as we continue this great ascension pathway that our planet is on. Our planet is guaranteed ascension. The great question is, will you join her?
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to just move into the final piece for our time together today, and I'm going to just share with you a beautiful process that is going to allow you to be in the right vibrational alignment to create the life that you've always wanted to create. This is actually available also as a free gift, I believe, through Ian's website or show. I believe there's free gifts available from the speakers. And I've created this as a nice audio backed by beautiful music. And so you'll be able to grab that free gift and get that. And you know, that way you'll be able to play it whenever you like. Obviously, it's not going to be as long today because the audio I've got for you as a free gift is 33 minutes. This is just going to be a little whiz-bang exploration into those frequencies to set you into your day, to set up your life. Your life will all come towards you through the frequency and the visualization of what you want it to be. So, let's start by sitting up nice and tall with your feet connected to the ground and your spine straight. And I want you to first up start by imagining a laser beam of light coming down through your higher self, down through your crown, through your spine, and into the earth. Just imagine that laser beam of light, that big beam of light, through your crown, through your spine, into the earth. And take three deep breaths. And open up all your chakras by visualizing all your chakras open, spinning 6 inches in diameter, clockwise, bringing in the frequency from the zero point field, radiating unconditional love up inside of yourself and out into your field. Just taking a moment to bring into your awareness all that you are grateful for now in your life. Feeling gratitude vibrating in your cells. For gratitude is the gateway of allowing yourself to receive. You must be grateful for what you have, which is the secret to life. Being grateful for what you have rather than having what you want. So feel that gratitude building in your system and say this out loud and repeat after me. I am one with all of life and all of life is one with me. I consciously align my life with a divine plan. And allow my body and consciousness to be used as a vessel for the limitless light source to flow through me as an expression of the unfolding divine plan on earth. I surrender and trust the unfolding guidance which I follow wherever it leads without question. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I humbly ask the creative power of the living eternal light of the Creator to set in motion the divine precision of synchronicity to flow through my day for the greater good of all and for my unique path in the unfolding of the divine plan. I am cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional love. I am cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional love. I am cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, just bring to your awareness any conflict with anyone or anything that you have. And just release by intention and energetically any resentments and irritations that you have with anyone or anything, to clear any toxic loads that you're carrying and send forgiveness to that person or event. Just do that now. Anything that you hold as resentments ends up pulling it back to you. No need to hold on to any resentments and to keep holding something. Time to let it go. Now, begin to visualize the different aspects of your life in full bloom. In particular, the fullest expression of your divine purpose, your creations, your visions. I want you to allow your imagination to run wild and create a visualization of the epic outcomes of your life and your mission. Build the feelings behind those visions. Picture them clearly. This is your life intention. The more you pour your creative visualization, focus and intent on it, the more it will populate your reticular activating system of your brain to bring it into creation. Visualize yourself as this intention, this visualization already complete, already in full bloom. And now that you can see this and witness this, what must you believe about yourself for this to be true? Now holding this vision, build the intention for your day. What are three actions today or tomorrow that you can do that will move you towards your theme of your intention and your life purpose? What are three simple things that you can do? Visualize them being done now. Visualize yourself taking the clear, decisive action. Visualize the actions being completed. And give thanks for all that has been completed. And finally, bless your path, bless your day, and bless your life. Send a blessing to yourself, the life path, your golden path that's now in front of you. And visualize and feel yourself walking down that golden path, blessing yourself, asking everything for everyone to support you in your unfolding day with gratitude and peace. It's commanded through the divine presence and universal harmonic field of divine love. That each beloved here moving through this meditation be uploaded with new upgrades, new soul programming from their higher self, in the best way possible to support them with this vision for their life. Anchor, lock and seal through their holograms. Anchor, lock and seal through the time matrix. Namaste, everyone. It's been a great honor to be with you on this call. Thank you, Ian, for the beautiful work you continue to do on the planet. All of my unconditional love. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much, Christoph, for being here with everyone and sharing. Beautiful, beautiful call today. Thank you, thank you. And everyone on the call, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for creating this, everyone. Thank you, thank you. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Sun. We thank the Ancient Ones. We thank the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service for being here and supporting us all. Much love to you all. Bye, everyone. Namaste. Namaste.